Many times I've made this claim that hip hop is over commercialized and that it is a nihilistic soundtrack that is killing our young people. And tonight I feel vindicated because this week one of my Eight Black Hands brothers sent me this article saying, hey, we should talk about this. And it's exactly something that I've been saying for the last couple of years. So tonight we're going to get into it. Stay tuned. Share the show with your friends and family. Let's all get it. So let's get it on and cracking right now. Welcome, friends and family. It is another Sunday night, and you know what that means. That means it is time for a fellowship with the father-powered Eight Black Hands podcast. We are down two hands this week, so it's the six black hands, as it has been many times in the past before. But we are going to talk about, like I said at the very beginning of the show, something that makes me feel very vindicated because I have been the Uncle Ruckus when it has come to hip-hop on this show. I've said many times that I feel like, we are being given a soundtrack that is nihilistic, and it is killing us with the lyrics. It has gone from us being party people and socially conscious people to being a whole bunch of niggas and hoes and gangsters and whatever lowlife. And we didn't make the decision for that to happen. Somebody else made that decision for us. And somehow we decided to go along with it. But this is where I feel vindicated, because my brother Sharif El Mekki, I believe it was, put in a Slack this week. Oh, we should talk about this article right here that popped up in, I think it was you, Sharif, that popped up in Hip Hop DX. And it's called True Colors, Race and the Misnomer of Hip Hop as Black Music. And this is a very interesting article. You guys can go look at it if you want to search it. By Omar Burgess, who I reached out to today to say that we were going to be speaking about his paper here. But he makes the claim that that artists no longer in hip hop can get out there and be brave and risk themselves and say radical things out of fear that they'll lose their commercialization, the monetization of their status. Meaning, you know, like when Kanye said, George Bush don't care about black people, which is so funny. After all these years, Kanye turns out Kanye don't care about black people.
Kanye said, Bush doesn't, Trump does.
Bush don't care about black people, but Trump loves y'all. Anyways, those are the type of things that folks would avoid now in hip hop, saying out of fear that they're going to get canceled or whatever. So anyways, why don't we start at the top? Sharif, what made you want to just give me all this joy to feel vindicated like this?
Yeah, you know, I was in a little bit of a rabbit hole. So I was reading up some other article that was just talking about, like, who consumes hip hop today? You know, a lot of us have talked about that. I think back in the day, Time had published an article about, 80% of consumers of hip hop are white people. And, you know, we've talked about this, you know, in the past. And so I was following those breadcrumbs, for a little bit, where they spoke about, like, hey, you know what? Asians are counted as white people in those, you know, in those demographics. And Southeast Asians, you know, a lot of them listen to hip hop, and they should be maybe a different demographic. And, you know, Latinos, even when, you know, a Big Pun talks about, you know, the black and brown get down, you know, they're counted as separately. And so I was just like going down this rabbit hole, and I came across this, which was published by Omar a couple years ago, that really just spoke about, you know, yes, Chris, what you've been saying a lot, and you know, just like when that decision was made. And you've actually quoted a couple of folks who talked about, like, yeah, there was a time when it was like, hey, this is actually more marketable if we do it this way. And I just remember, like, it was at some point it was very diverse, right? You could hear different genres, you know, there was a continuum of, you know, folks said you were like, you know, not woke all the way to very woke and a whole bunch in between. And slowly but surely those options, you know, if it was positive, it was like deep underground or something like that. Very few. And P said it, right? Like, it's like, you know, we'll see if they play this, which meant, you know, they weren't going to play it, you know, on the radio most of the time. So,
Ray, I want to pull you in here. I want to ask you a question, bro. This is going to put you on the spot. This is going to make you gonna be on the spot with this question.
Yeah,
because it's gonna make you have to, like, I know you're getting old, so your memory is gonna be bad, but you know, I'm gonna ask you anyways. Like, think about decade by decade, not it doesn't have to be decade by decade, but think about yourself at different points in life, and tell me, what was your primary hip hop that you were listening to like in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, and now? Like, how was been the evolution in your different ages?
And was there an evolution?
Okay, well, there's that.
Hey, Reef, I wore this sweatshirt for you, baby. This is for you. You see what it says?
Man, that's for people that ain't got family to talk to.
It says go to therapy. All right, so I think, man, that's a really good question. Because like I've always been a smooth R&B cat, right? And so I've had my bouts with hip hop, right? And I feel like how you guys feel now in terms of the Uncle Ruckus approach to it, because it's lost its luster for me, right? Like I remember in the early, like late 80s, early 90s, it had like a lot of meaning to it, right? So like you had rappers like Eric B and Rakim, you had Big Daddy Kane, you had KRS-One. I'm talking all like New York rappers or whatever. You had rappers on the West Coast, but like even the rappers on the West Coast, you still had a message, right? The first CD I bought, and I said this before on another pod, was N.W.A. And that first N.W.A. album, right? It was reckless, but it had a message, right? It was police brutality that was happening in L.A. And it was like, fuck the police, right? So like this was things that were occurring way back when. So like, as I was listening to that soundtrack that you sent today, Chris, bro, it was a lot of woke before woke stuff that was happening in rap that just doesn't happen nowadays. So I was listening to like the Dead Prez track and listening to, you know, the artist that you sent, bro. And it made me smile. It made me think about when hip hop really mattered, because now, man, all you hear is bitch this, hold that. You know, it's no substance to it, bro. It's like, I think every time a kid listens to that stuff that's happening now, it's killing brain cells, man. It's like you got the drugs, you got the heroin, you got the that shit's like heroin to your mind, bro. I forget the other drug that's out now, but hip hop is bad now, bro.
See, this is where the vindication
is. Like real Uncle Ruckus.
No, I mean, but like it feels like vindication. That's all I'm gonna say, because I've been saying this, you know, for a while, and I think people feel like it's age or it's beigeness or it's whatever, and it's actually really analytical. Like, first of all, I think people have forgotten more than they can remember about hip hop. And there is a whole bunch.
Right? It's old. Like, it has a history. Yeah, it's
and there's some extinct. There's some extinct. Somebody name me a KRS-One. Somebody name me right now a KRS-One. Someone who can get through an entire song without a nigga. Get through an entire song without a nigga, a bitch, a hoe, a hoe-ish figure, whatever. Name me somebody right now.
J. Cole can do it.
Okay, I'm gonna go look and check. I'm gonna pull some lyrics, because even some of the ones that I feel like are conscious hip hoppers right now today, actually, when I went to look at when I did this test of what I just said, actually, still on their conscious hip hop albums, still have all those cast of characters on there.
I can't say BDP didn't have any of that. Like, right, like
I'm,
you know,
I tried to like which one?
No, I'm saying that had something. No, I'm saying like,
yeah, Boogie Down Production said nigga.
They said that.
I mean, but listen, so y'all want me to play You Must Learn?
I mean, yeah, but yes, you can pull that out, but you can also pull out other joints. When he was like with Scott LaRock, he was talking about, you know what I mean, like bussing cats too, you know what I mean? Like, so it's,
well, some,
I think
some
that it was
deserved to get shot back then. So, you know,
it's like a continuum. I think now it's like, it seems like, and again, I'm far away. Like sometimes when they list all the current rappers, like our sister Kosu was saying, she listed, you know, she put a post out today where she was talking about, I don't remember the lady's name, but it's she was just saying like a light skinned rapper. She's talking about like colorism and how this one, she put out something, but now like she got signed with everybody, got 4 million joins. And then there's some, darker skinned rappers with just as much talent, and they're not getting any play. Yo, when she listed the names, I had not heard of a single one of them. And I was just like, dang, all these
rappers or just rappers in general?
She was talking about female rappers.
Yeah, bro.
I'll try to find it. I had never heard of any of these.
It's funny you should mention that, right? Because, you know, I don't think that we talk about this enough as well. So, like, back in the day, female artists used to have messages too, right? And, like, nowadays, bro, it's like I'm scared to cut on the radio when I get in my car. I'm telling you, like you got hot girl this, you got
especially with your daughter in the car, right?
Facts, bro, because I'm sitting and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yo, you know, I would rather have like a Megan Thee Stallion talk about graduating from Texas Southern than I would have her talk about like, you know, all the other stuff that she talks about, especially when I'm trying to send this message to my daughter. And like, I don't want her to not feel liberated. I don't want her to not feel like she can't do the things that she wants to do or whatever, you know, but like, I think some of the things that are glorified in hip hop right now, I don't know. And I know it comes from like there being misogyny happening on the male side. And so now females feel like they need to match that energy. But do you really?
Bro, listen, I'm so glad that you said this because this is what we're going to do right here. We're just going to play a little clip. Just quick. It's just not going to take forever. Here we go. Ready? This is female rap from my generation, right?
Tom Dinkinson, you have a responsibility to do something about the racial tension in this city. It's bad for business.
Yes, our community is equally terrorized by these youths roaming around the streets in wolf packs.
My wife can't run Central Park anymore. The police department does nothing about it. These black wilding youths, rapists, been running wild.
I listen to all of your concerns, and you know something? You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I'll call the police and the National Guard first thing in the morning.
It's not soon enough.
Look. The time for scared, lip trembling, word changing, self denying, compromising, knee shaking black people is over. If you have something to say, speak up with authority and permission. If not, sit down and shut up. We have to have the power to tell the truth, to say whatever is necessary, to do what needs to be done, whatever it is, no matter who it may hurt.
Okay, y'all. I'm gonna stop there,
again, bro. That's not happening. That's never gonna happen again, bro. Because what happens is,
wait a second. That's a question. What you just said, you know, a second before that. How do you get from that to Hot Girl Summer,
bro? I don't know how you make that. How you make that transition is when you got dudes out here talking about bitches and hoes and like all these other things. Then in order to match that energy, you're going to have women that feel like they need to fill that slot and be like niggas and all this other stuff and whatnot, right? So like it's a matching energy kind of thing. Instead of somebody having enough courage to say, you know what, I'm gonna have my own message and it's going to be a positive message. We're going to get some positive hip hop out here, right? Because like those people don't sell. Those people don't get booked. Those people don't get radio play. What's playing right now?
They actually don't get signed.
That
so,
too.
So we don't really know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, someone is making the decision of who gets signed in the first place.
Yeah, right? But you know who that someone is, right? You know, wait, hold up. Not even say, do you know who that someone is? Because that's dangerous territory. You know who that someone is not.
Well, that's true. Us.
We are not making those decisions.
Right. I think you're on mute, Reef.
Aren't there now like black folks who own like record companies or like who could sign?
Allegedly. But like
they don't own the final masters. They are not the masters.
No, everybody's selling their masters nowadays.
Well, and I don't mean the masters of the records. I mean, they're not the masters of the record industry. Those sub labels, the labels even Dr. Dre and others have are actually owned by Interscope, and Interscope is owned by Warner, and Warner is owned by like PepsiCo or something, right? Like so at the end of the day, they're all
when they say that like they own something, they don't own it. Like so sometimes when I hear like, oh, they own a record, I'm thinking like they're the ones that can sign
Bad Boy Records and all of that, sharecroppers, straight sharecroppers, which is why Diddy, like, to get his own piece of the money out of it, robbed all of his artists.
Bro, since we're talking about hip hop, we talking about Diddy and all these, you name me one Bad Boy artist that is still Bad Boy from the 90s, the early 90s to, I guess, 98, 99, early 2000s. You name me one Bad Boy artist that talks about Diddy in a positive way or is still making music to this day that doesn't owe this man money. A lot of these people, you get a Carl Thomas. Man, I know y'all heard that first Carl Thomas CD, that emotional CD. Man, that CD got people. Who, listen, you got to Reef. That's R&B. That's the R&B that I was talking about, bro.
That's a rap name?
No. Carl Thomas is R&B, bro. And so, my point is this, right? Diddy is a crook. we glorify crooks in hip hop, right? We glorify them.
I wouldn't say we. But anyways, I want to interrupt this very important conversation for another clip.
This is Chris's favorite. When he's in his Uncle Ruckus moment, this is the Jordy break.
Explains the genealogy of Shem. Shem was a black man.
My cousin's in this Africa. Video.
If you repeat this right fact, there. They can't laugh at you.
Yes. Genesis
14, verse 13.
Abraham. Legislatures now. That's perfect. That's. They just banned the books.
Yeah. They throw Reef out to school.
You must learn, baby. They out of school time. Yeah. Don't gotta worry about them. Out of school time.
D Nice been going for a while.
D Nice is rocking the sound set tonight. We're not thrilled.
Look at this. No guns. No alcohol.
Miss Melody was hard too.
Got some messages. Got some real white people. Got some locks. Got Ray's uncle.
It's part of that rock style that I speak to deal with facts. You will never get weak in the heart. In fact, you'll start to illuminate knowledge to others in a song. Let me demonstrate the force of knowledge. Knowledge reigns supreme. The ignorant is rich with smithereens. What do you mean when you say I'm rebellious? Because I don't accept everything that you're telling us. What are you selling us?
Come on.
I see in your bro. Unknown past where you're failing us. I failed to practice hiding with your reason. You're trying to make me you by seasoning.
You find what?
DJ, huh? Bro, listen.
See John Buck in a hardcore New York? Come on now, it's like a chocolate cow. It doesn't exist, no way, no how. It seems to me that in the school this ebony, African history should be put up steadily, but it's not. And this has got to stop. See spot, run, get a spot.
I know why they, bro. So you know why they had to take this. Why they had to take hip hop over? You know why they had to take hip hop over, man. We
because if that would have continued, that could have been a problem.
It would have been a revolution, bro. It would have been the revolution that they were predicting in the mid '80s or whatever. If they would have had that kind of music, that would have took us into the 2000s, bro. Man, listen, it would have been trouble. But now we got to back our ass up.
I feel like people forgot, like we played Sister Soldier earlier. I feel like people forgot that Sister Soldier was on the cover of like Time magazine, and Bill Clinton came out and dissed her as part of his campaigning to show America that he wasn't a soft Democrat. He like did a whole thing about how he, you know, like people like her shouldn't exist in the country type of thing. And that was his showing that he wasn't too soft on the blacks when he was running.
Well, he did a whole lot of other shit.
He did Arsenio and played the saxophone, but then he ran right to you know, all these other magazines.
He came to Philly and ate hog maws at Big George's on 52nd Street. you would have thought Dr. King was out there, man. This crowd was all around this joke. Yo, man, he was on 52nd Street. Like, so there's a picture where Dr. King spoke off on Lancaster Avenue, right? Like, you see throngs of people there to see him. They show Bill Clinton coming out of Big George's, this black owned restaurant on 52nd Street. And it was the same thing, like everything shutting down. I'm like, yo, y'all down here for this joker? Like, unbelievable.
Bro, the way that people be out here cooning for these folks, man, is absolutely
I mean,
it was musically inclined. You know how y'all get down. You know what I mean?
Well, I was about to say, like, you know,
does he play the saxophone?
I mean, well, there's just a maybe when I was going through a lot of these acts for today, thinking about it, if you think about what was in your ear constantly, so what was going through your head, it was making you think things. So yes. If I talk to you all day long about math or whatnot, it's gonna make you think about math. If I talk to you all day long about economics, you're gonna keep your cognition is gonna keep going on economics. So KRS-One and X-Clan and all these others, Jungle Brothers and Poor Righteous Teachers and Brand Nubians and a whole bunch of them had songs.
To the east every time you say X-Clan, you're supposed to say something.
All right, see, you wanna get messy with it, right? Okay, here we go. All right, here we go.
The Overseer. In the early 1900s, a brother set out on voyage. His mission, black nationalism. his oath, freedom, or death. In the 60s, brothers like Stokely Carmichael, H. Rap Brown, The Mission, Black Nationalism, the oath, freedom, or death. In the 90s, The Mission, Black Nationalism, The Messengers, X-Clan, The Movement, Black Watch, the oath, freedom, or death.
That boy's spazzing out.
By the way,
freedom or death, you shall all be moved. Vanguards, this is protected by the red, the black,
and the green.
I'll a baby professor.
Come on,
hell, book a lesson. Sweet tongue, grand vital scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in
our brother to the east. That's what you're going to say.
Yeah, so think about hip hop and how it originated, right? So it originated as a way for urban youth who felt marginalized and oppressed. And it was a way for them to share their experiences and perspectives on the world. And then mainstream took it over, right? And so here we are, man. So like let's talk about how we made that transition from being able to share the thoughts of the oppressed and marginalized to like where we are now. Like we got to talk about that, man, because bro, I think that if we could follow somebody earlier in the comments said follow the money. Well, we following the money with regards to like how hip hop transformed. We can also follow the money to see where education made a turn for the worse too.
I mean, what's your link? What are you linking between those two things? When hip hop made a turn and education made a turn.
So there was a point in education where it was like black unity. It was like the village. It was like a village raised a child, right? But then at some point it became, and it may be at the crossroads when hip hop took over and started poisoning people's minds to where like the village was then alienated. It's like, yo, you can't even really talk to nobody else's child without them feeling offended, feeling like you trying to come for their parenting or whatever. But before it was like, we all raising this kid. It's no longer that way. And so is there a parallel? I feel like there is.
You know what I feel like? I feel like updating, you know, our references and showing you what we done came to now.
Everybody in my game.
And that.
Drug addicts. Ooh. Ooh. Chill. Chill. Baby. Ooh. Whole gang full of drug addicts. Ooh. Chill. Take a lot of shit. Forgot what happened. I ain't gon' lie. I gotta have it. Swear to God, you can't be on my status.
I swear to God.
Start the day off with a pint.
I can't do it.
Anybody that starts off with little, if they got little, you know what I mean?
I can't do it.
Giving them the not side only
that,
eye.
Anybody that starts off with Charlie Sheen in the video.
So it's called drug addicts, right?
You know, from a movie or something? Is that like a movie soundtrack?
No, that's a video.
That's just a straight
This is
video.
The soundtrack of many kids' lives. Right now, you
know, we sound old, but it's like, yo, they all sound alike. Like, I'm sorry, it's the same cadence, it's the same, like, it literally. And it's sometimes like, is that just you that because you got another decade on you, or is it really the exact same cadence for all the, you know what I mean? Like, just a variety, I miss variety, you know, like, right. it's more serial variety.
I miss coherence. I miss the English language.
So,
right?
So,
that's what I miss. Like, they just be like, they be mashed potatoes and gravy and some gravy on the side. What is wrong with you?
God.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know if it's
just being old. Like, hip hop also was like for storytellers, right? So, like, there are some folks that now.
Y'all don't respect lyricists. And listen, music. First of all, y'all being a little hypocritical. Because there's been a time when you were bringing up people that you watch and listen to, you and Cole, talk down and straight like you're from another planet. Talk about some folks.
Don't talk about
they were amazing and they were the best ever. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I missed the 90s.
I'll still defend these artists.
I didn't know the names of them when you brought them up the first time. How am I remember the names of them now? But all I know is we got receipts. Were you caping for some whack?
I'm a Lil Wayne fan, right? But there's a reason why I'm a Lil Wayne fan. I'm a Lil Wayne fan because
let's hear this. Yes, please.
I'm a Lil Wayne fan. I'm a Lil Wayne fan because he's from Louisiana, and folks from Louisiana root for other people that are from Louisiana. And if you listen to some of his music, the music that so Wayne went through a whole time, right, when he was first coming into rap or whatever, that he did not curse. Like he was, I think from like his earlier stuff, he didn't curse, and then got immersed into like drug culture and like all these other things, and then life hit him or whatever. And then you see the transformation from him going from like not cursing, being a respectful young gent, to him being a blood and a gangster, right? And so, you know, people transform, they go where the money leads them or whatever, but I'm still a fan of his because he's from my home state.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's hear your thought
on Black Lives Matter.
What is it? What do you mean?
The idea is that there's this movement called Black Lives Matter, thinking that the rest of America didn't seem to understand that Black Lives Matter.
Just sounds weird. I don't know that you put a name on. It's not a name. It's not whatever, whatever. It's somebody got shot by police for a reason. I am a young black rich. If that don't let you know that America understand Black Matter these days, I don't know what it is. That man white.
That's the most ridiculous.
I don't know what you mean. Don't come at me with that dumb man. My life matter, especially to my.
Oh my God.
Okay. So.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still a Wayne fan, but
here's the shirt. Hence the shirt that he got on.
He needs to go. Yeah, he definitely.
No, I'm talking about you. Like
he needs to go to therapy.
He does.
I'm talking about you.
I need to go to therapy too. But anyway, everybody needs to go to therapy. We need to normalize it, Reef. That's the purpose of me wearing this shirt. Everybody needs somebody to talk to. Anyways, so the reason why Wayne took that position is because when he shot himself, right? I don't know if it was a suicide attempt. I don't know if he accidentally shot himself or whatever. The first person that he saw when he woke up was a white cop. And so the white cop saved his life. And so if you look at any of the stories when he talks about like getting shot or anything like that, it was a white cop that saved his life. And so I don't know if that negatively persuaded him to make whatever. But then also 95% of the time when you see Wayne these days, he's on drugs. So there's that.
95%. That's a lot. What's he doing that other 5% of the time? Sleeping?
Rapping.
rapping. No, I think he's doing that while he's on drugs too. I mean, this is my point though. I can't think of an analog to what we just saw with Lil Wayne to my era of hip hop.
I'm sure there was somebody. We probably just, you know, I can't.
Like who?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I just can't believe that nobody was, you know what I mean? Like, just off the
I rocket. Will give you this. There was a period of time where it started going the direction to where you had the Iceberg Slim influenced rappers, especially, you know, Ice-T, Too Short, Telling Tales of the Streets, Pimps and Pimp Mentality. And pimp hustle mentality. They weren't the majority yet, right? Mm-hmm. You still had a lot of stop the violence in hip hop type of artists. You still had a lot of UNITY type of songs. You still had a lot of like, you know, you still had a lot of that going on. So you had this subsection of ignorant Negroes that were still pushing the, no, I like to slap a girl every now and then type of stuff.
And
that's the Too Shorts and the Ice-T's, eventually the NWA's. I mean, Ray, you said that they were semi-conscious, you know, because they had the F the Police song.
Yeah.
It's not like the rest of that was like enlightened hip hop on it. That was straight gangster street stuff.
Yeah.
We accepted it because it felt like a breath of fresh air in that it was like us hearing some of our cousins that never got heard. But then they took over. Then they became the only thing.
Bro, why Nicole be in these comments, man, acting like I won't fucking go off on her? See, you know what?
Yo,
see,
relax. What happened? What's happening?
I'm sorry.
This is what happens when people listen to too much hip hop. See? Put the comment up. Wait.
I want to address it though. It says, Ray Sean Lil Wayne mercy like a child does a deadbeat dad. Very forgiving.
Why did that upset you?
I hate town. Well, I've got a question for you. What does knocking the boots really mean?
Well, knocking the boots actually means two boots coming together, see, making tasteful.
We got to put on some love, some R&B, you know, because there you go. All right.
Yeah.
All right. This is palate cleansing time.
We're all doing right. this for all the ladies.
We're doing this for the ladies.
Yes. H-Town boys.
See, this is what y'all miss when y'all listen to all that garbage hip hop. Y'all miss out on
you know why it triggers
bad,
me?
You know why it triggers me?
Stop it.
I'm gonna tell you why. And I'm gonna do it in a respectful way.
I don't see why you're offended. I really don't.
Why it triggers me is because when we this is a black father powered show, right? And so I don't want to hear anything that puts fathers in a negative light because society does that shit enough, right? It's like we take so much heat as being black fathers. Right. It's like we're always othered or whatever. And then when you look at the majority of the research, many of us are not deadbeat dads. Many of us are involved in our kids' lives. Right.
So the term itself is.
Yeah.
Why didn't I just say that? Why all the extra?
Yeah.
You know I mean,
like, because I was triggered. Bro. I can't be human. Go to therapy.
Why are you still being triggered? Yeah, you get all that money for therapy.
You're the only person, on the show with therapy. And look what it does. And
look at you like, yo,
I need it.
You know what? Maybe trade that and get some peppermint tea. Right. You know, you make fun of me in my tea, but that calms you down.
To your point, I want to ask you a straight up question. Do you think that we excuse too much of folks? Because I think that's at the heart of what Nicole Johnson is saying. And I just, like, when I think about R. Kelly, when I think about the Chris Brown situation that happened or whatnot, there's a lot of, you know, males that don't be on the right side of those debates, though, you know.
So with Chris
Brown. Or Freaknik, the Freaknik documentary coming out now, right?
And only one third of this current group on the screen is, you know, potentially in them, John.
I never went.
First and foremost, right? So y'all were about 10 years removed from Freaknik before when it was happening?
I don't even know what year we're talking about. What you talking about? You said you invented it.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
I mean, I may or may not be in a video. Now, anyways, this is all I'm saying to the point that she's making, though, and to the point that Sharif just made. I think we cape sometimes for some of these folks that are, you know, they're negative influences and they do negative things and we still like are out here for them, like in a lot of ways. And even, you know, the subject we're talking about right now, hip hop, right? Yeah, I know that so-and-so did this or did that, but I'm still down with him because, you know, his music is like really, you know, good for me in some way, shape or form. And you're talking about straight up negative people who have a toxic negative influence on our culture. We're getting our young people to think about everything except for what KRS-One and the others used to get our people thinking about.
My thing is, it's not just rappers. Like, that's my one thing, though, right? Like, there are a lot of artists that may, you know, I mean, human beings, period, right? You know, but there are a lot of artists that may, you know, do things that you wouldn't necessarily want your children to do, say, create. And it's still, you know what I mean? People are like, well, yeah, that's toxic, but, and, you know what I mean? Like, I'm entertained by it, right? Like, so, you know, I don't want to portray, I think we should not portray it just as rappers doing that. Like, there's, you know, other, you know, songsters or musicians or whatever that also may, you know, may have things that were just like, oh, I don't know if I agree with that lifestyle, yet people still find it very entertaining. Right. And it's, you know, and you brought up, you know, some other folks, but it's, you know, outside of rap. So I think that's also a part of, you know, just the conversation of like, what's the entertainment value of something? And then what do they add to the culture? But then also, what's their influence? You know, and I think, you know, I hear a lot of people say like, oh, it's not influential. But then at the same time, nowadays, they call everybody influencer. I'm just like, wait a minute. If they didn't, you know, because people are like, I can listen to all that and never go do X, Y, Z. I'm just like, yeah, but at the same time, you're calling them an influencer. So that means they must influence something. You know what I mean? There must be some kind of, you know, like, you know, mindset or your psyche or your, you know, just something that may be influenced. I do believe like it also depends on what's also surrounding you to buffer some of the messages, but I just can't imagine that nothing gets internalized, you know, no matter what you listen to. I just can't.
1501 certified. Tell me when you want your daughter to be in one of these videos.
Me, never.
All right, people watching, now audience, right now watching. Tell me when you want, when you want one of your daughters to be in this. Everybody who's gonna, justify hip hop right now. Tell me which one of these you want to be your daughter right now. Ooh. Yeah, that's something that most people want. Making she not in the cut. Yeah, get her mic in the trunk. I live the hustle like I'm cool with her partner. He looking around, he think they gonna rob. Cologne on his shirt, serving them boys. Right, right. This is the soundtrack you want. This is the soundtrack you want for your peoples.
No,
hey Chris, when we first started listening to rap, all the rappers had their boys, their homies dancing,
but not all the bongs. No.
That's what I'm saying. Like before, it was all your homies was dancing.
I was about to say you got a different history than I do, bro.
No, not that kind of dance. I'm just like they were doing right.
B-boy dancing.
Yeah, they were being B-boy dancing. You know what I mean? Like that's how it was before.
Yes.
You know, now I forget when it first, you know.
Yeah, but
Principal Kafele, my brother, thank you for some open-throated, just straight up, these songs, vids, are a problem. I don't care what the apologists say. Straight up grown man talk. I don't care what anybody says. There's no art form there that I want my daughters or my people. There's nothing beneficial in there as an educational lesson. It's definitely not the thing I want in little boys' ears all day long about their future wives or their future, the women in their lives or whatnot. I can guarantee you, the person who is living in Beverly Hills with a nanny and has braces on his kid's teeth and they're going to gymnastics with the nanny and everything.
What the hell does braces mean? What does that have to do with anything?
They're being paid for by somebody's daughter in one of these videos jumping up and down on a goddamn pole. That's what it has to do with something. The number of people probably living in Beverly Hills right now, living real lifestyles that their daughters ain't doing this. This ain't what their daughters are doing.
They don't necessarily have to be living in Beverly Hills. They could be in Carlsbad. They could be...
See, I'm just going to give you the whole screen so you can be ignorant all by yourself.
They could be in San Diego. Any of these outpriced places that are near the beach, Malibu, any of these outpriced places that are near the beach or near water or whatever, that's what we're paying for, right? Because like we're commodities in this whole game. We don't really understand how much money the black dollar is for these folks. And that's why they have commercialized hip hop to mean what it means.
Yeah, that's old. Like, what year?
This is true.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Marita put this in the thing. She said, "Oh, well, what about Uncle Luke?" Okay, she right.
And I listen. And I've heard y'all talk about Uncle Luke in glowing terms.
Now you haven't heard us talk about Uncle Luke and go in terms about this particular song, though. We talk about him recently because he made a video that was about DeSantis in Florida, which was crazy, right? Like him getting in on that action, saying like, listen, I want to thank DeSantis basically for pointing out the fact that all of us need to be teaching our kids African history at home, right? Uh-huh. So that's what he said. Uncle Luke didn't come a long way, like Master P and others. But Maritza, you're right. So she put that in.
That's in the heyday.
It's like old heads. Don't get too ahead of yourself with saying you had none of it because we did have some of it. So.
I know we had it. I just think we had a much larger variety. You know what I mean? Like that's my thing. Like now it's like super concentrated, lack of variety. Same. You know what I mean? Like each is. You know what I mean? Like I'm not even going to get into the everything sound. That might really be my lack of musicology. But you know, I just think during our time, there were so many varieties that you can pick and choose from, and I just don't know if our youth have that now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always impressed. Like, some of them actually study hip hop, right? Like, you know, when you hear like a young boxer talk about like I study, you know, boxing, and they know like the Sugar Ray Leonards and the Muhammad Ali's and stuff, and their science behind that. I do find youth. Today, and I'm conversing with them who can talk about, you know, older generations. And I think even them having that kind of level of history and understanding and variety can just give them balance. You know, we just need to bring balance back to the force. That's what I think.
Yo, Reef, that's an interesting point, right? Because I was listening to an interview with Method Man, and he was talking about Marley Marl, because Marley Marl, it was like one of the first rappers that had like style that people kind of bit, right? Uh-huh. And he's talking about how Marley Marl is like very critical of rappers nowadays in terms of like just like how they show up. And he was talking about Marley Marl so critical to the point to where folks don't really rock with him because he's so critical of them. But he was like, a lot of his style came from like people that came before him and whatnot. So for him to pay tribute and homage to the fact that a lot of the way that he flows comes from people from generations before him. Like, you'll have somebody like a Lil Uzi Vert that'll be like, I don't even know who Tupac was. And I'm like, what?
And he said, all them old dudes are boring. You know, yeah. He's like, yeah, all them old dudes, you know, are boring or whatnot. And, you know, it's good you bring up Tupac.
It wasn't Marley Marl. It was Melly Mel. Melly Mel is the dude with the muscles. El Michelle know him. She be gawking over him. it was Melly Mel. My bad.
You know what? People should pull up a picture of Melly Mel. Brother is like 50, 60 years old. He's like 60. And he don't look at it at all. He look like he's been like eating people his whole life. So it's good you bring him up. You know what? You just said Lil Vert, I think it was, who said
Uzi Vert,
that Tupac was boring or whatever, and he wasn't really down with him or whatnot. The interesting thing about what I'm saying right now, all of what I'm saying, is people remember Tupac differently than he actually was, and then his catalog actually was. We remember him as a conscious hip hopper. If you listen deeply, there's a lot of hoes and bitches, and I slapped you and I killed you, and I'm not gonna give Biggie a pass either of being like, he wasn't a conscious hip hopper. So within our eras,
they were both good storytellers, though.
Well, I mean, that's true, but if the story you're telling is hella ignorant, and you're just good at telling an ignorant story. Yeah. I mean, damn, you know, you tell a soul-killing, you know, mind-numbing story. Okay, so Mama Toya put the last poets in here. Now, see, this is the genesis of my argument. She just hit it on the head. So if you look in the comments, folks, I dropped in a playlist of liberation hip-hop, what I call that. I would love for you all to add any songs that you think are not on that list. That go for liberation hip hop. And I started it all the way in the beginning in the 70s with Gil Scott-Heron.
Right? That was a tough track.
Right. So that's the earliest genesis of real hip hop, conscious hip hop is like Gil Scott-Heron. And there's kind of like a through line through him and some others. But then, you know, you have the lost, I think you meant the lost poets, right? Or the
lost poets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last poets.
And you know, the Roots and others, you know, I think the Roots are more of a band than a hip hop, you know.
Time out.
I think they're more of a band. They're musicians,
They are hip hop. They embody the essence of hip. They are the ones carrying forth the bloodline, the traditions.
Yeah.
And of course, it comes from the 215.
Because I feel like when he says embody the essence, essence isn't the actual thing usually. Like, I embody the essence of a billionaire, but I'm broke.
That means you don't embody the essence of a billionaire.
I embody the essence of one. I just don't have the money of one.
Listen, like, all jokes aside, the Roots are the quintessential form of hip hop. Like, and if you want to show value, you want to show understanding, you want to show depth of understanding of hip hop, then you got to give Roots their due. They're not just a band. Like what is that? They're a band. No, bro. They are
play instruments, bro.
So what? They are hip hop, though. What they do?
Y'all listening to this right now? You can say whatever you want about Sheree.
That's '90s R&B.
Who's just loving them and blah blah blah. But this is a band. This is actually, these are people who play actual instruments. If you can't hear that in this, this might as well be Frankie Beverly and Maze. Listen to this. Come on, this ain't sample and scratching. What is that, a harmony? Damn, is that people actually singing?
That's actually a real hook.
I got some booty in here.
There it is.
Oh, Roots, what y'all doing?
If you listen to the song, they justify why they put that on there, though.
They do?
Yeah.
But anyways, listen to this.
Yo, lost generation, fast-paced nation, world population confront their frustration. The principles of true hip-hop have been forsaken. It's all contractual and about money-making. Pretend to be cats, don't seem to know their limitation. Exact replication and false representation. You want to be a man, then stand your own. To MC requires skills, I demand some show. I let the frauds keep fronting and roam like a cellular phone far from home, giving crowds what they wanted.
There's a little jiggly in it. You know, it doesn't fully make my point, but I will say this. It does make my point about that's a band. right? Yeah. That is not no scratching and, you know, just four records,
all right,
two turntables and a microphone.
So let me ask you this though, right? Because Nicole makes a good point. Are we saying that hip hop is only the turntables, right? Like we're not, or
hip hop is a whole lifestyle, bro.
I feel like, yeah, but like that's not what I'm hearing from Chris.
Well, hip hop is the culture.
This is the oldest one amongst us. So, you know, for him,
hip hop is the culture.
He's only Africa Bambaataa, you know?
Wow, just hatred for the ancestors. Hatred for the ancestors. Damn. Yeah. Egypt is the oldest out of all of us. We going to joke about Egypt too? Stop it. Stop it. Negroes. this is what I was going to say. Hip hop is the culture, rapping is the game. Rapping used to be a lot about the two turntables and a microphone. How bad could you be? Could you battle it out? Could your DJ scratch it out? And could you rap it out? Right. That made a whole bunch of musicians dismiss rapping and hip hop for a while. So roots are different. They're different in that they play real instruments. They play real music. They have real harmonies. They understand scales. They understand music theory. Yeah. Right. And I don't know that I can name too many like that. I just don't, you know.
Several of them, they went to school. They went to creative and performing arts. They went to actual, like, a real school. You know,
a real music school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and see, look at me saying real music. I feel like real music, but you know.
Like Nas's dad was a musician. You would hear, like, a lot of the stuff in the background or whatever in some of his songs from that. Now, bro, pull up some Mos Def, man. You talking about conscious rap.
Michelle says that you have to have some serious skills to be an actual rapper. And this, I believe, to be a true statement that is being undercut by a lot of what I'm saying right now tonight, which is even at its most ignorant, it is not easy to do what these people are doing.
No.
The wordplay and the words that they're putting together is
some of them
of some real intelligence. Well, yeah. Like,
some of them is literally like, you know. Where my dog's at, I chase the cat. Hey, like, I mean, it's then there are others like the Roots that actually Malik B and Tariq were actually they're lyricists, right? Yeah. Like they are actual.
All right, bro, let me a technical foul on you right now.
I'm listening.
Hey, one of them folks that you just mentioned is a lyricist. The other one that you mentioned, I would say he's an emerging lyricist, but I wouldn't say that Malik B is a lyricist.
He passed away. How's he still emerging?
So I feel like he was so because he passed away. What? That means that he's a lyricist now because he passed away. Lyricist?
Bro,
no.
Go listen. First of all, bro, like there's no way in the world you can listen to Malik. Tariq and the rest of them say he's a lyricist, and you're going to say that he's not? Like, that makes no sense. And while we're talking about hip-hop, I'd be remiss if I didn't say shout-out to DJ Miz, one of the baddest DJ scratchers ever, you know, produced in these streets. So shout-out to DJ Miz, Sakini Moultrie. Much love, bro.
From Philly.
No doubt, bro.
I'm not going to make too much of this. But y'all don't even know what this is.
Yeah, we know who this is.
So strong, hold on, and I get wicked in this song. Stir up just the wickedest.
Underground Black Panther hip hop from the 90s. Actually, was
throw black and it ain't no joke. Coming straight from the mob that broke.
You're not going to find nothing anymore.
Now I'm back with a brand new sick rhyme. So black
shit time and tempo. Consciousness, rap, and hip hop, where there's actually a political motivation for actually what you have to say on tracks.
That reminds me, you know, Sonia Sanchez, I quoted her in a piece recently, but she basically said, like, all poets, so let's just substitute poets for rappers. So all rappers are all writers are political. They either maintain the status quo, they say something's wrong, let's change it for the better. So it's either one of those, right? Like, you're always making a decision. You're either maintaining the status quo or you change it. Because you hear a lot of folks like, I'm rapping about my life. And like that's what I hear the most when people are defending the madness. I'm rapping about my life. I'm rapping about what I know about. I'm rapping about what I experience. I'm like, okay.
Like, I guarantee
that's one
you
way to look at it.
That 99% of the people listening to 50 Cent, and even 80% of the ones that say he's rapping about their life have never been shot 9 times. So when he's talking about he got shot 9 times and, you know, that's part of his origin story or whatnot, there's a whole bunch of people listening to his music who are adopting, co-opting his story and his persona too. And what they really mean is, on the bus between my middle class existence and school, I was always listening to that every day. So I had a parasocial relationship with that brother and thought that I was getting shot. nine times. And I went to school with the swag and the swagger of somebody who had been shot nine times. And I tried to pump myself up before I lost fights all the time, like I was 50 Cent or whatnot. That's what I think a lot of people are doing. And that's what I think is the tragedy of all of this stuff is, yes, there's a thumbnail sketch number of people that are living this lifestyle who are actually putting that on wax, but they're selling it to a lot of people that are living vicariously on their misery. And on one side, it's white folks that are living vicariously. And on the other side, it's black folks who are trying to adopt some of the machismo of that to deal with the white folks in their schools. That's just me.
I wish we brought, you know, maybe we could do a follow-up to this. I would love to have Michael Cord come on and talk about, you know, this, his coursework and all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean, around hip-hop.
Who is that, Reef?
So he's a lawyer, activist, you know.
Philly dude. He's dope.
Yeah.
And he's the truth. And I would love to know, I mean, if he teaches something about this, this is the other thing I found is that, like, you know, hip-hop, the way that we're talking about it right now is different than the places where it's gone. They're teaching classes on hip-hop at Harvard. They're teaching classes on hip-hop in, like, Ivy League schools. And some of them have artists in residence. I can't, you know, it won't come to mind right away who's at Harvard. Someone we would all know, you know, is going to escape me for now. But a few of them have, like, artists in residence who are teaching classes on it at a very high level. So I would love to see what went in those classes talks about the turn of events that went from what we said in the beginning of the show, KRS-One, all that type of stuff. Through, it looks like we're not completely out of the woods, old people. I think Maritza gave us, like, Uncle Luke. That was on our watch.
Kid Cudi.
On our clock. NWA was on our watch. Ice-T was on our watch.
I got in so much trouble in college playing F the Police, bro. I probably got like 20 citations. You know, like back then it was in triplicate. I had so many citations. Anybody at IUP that could tell you, like, I would literally take those and I would like tape them up on my wall, like almost as a shrine of NWA shrine. Like, yep. But yeah, that was really the only song that I, you know, like it resonated with me.
Of the ignorant ones, you mean?
I mean, out of their album, like that was the song. I just felt like it, you know, so much of what they were saying and the experiencing, like that's what, you know, I mean, that's why I wanted to be in internal affairs initially, you know, as a career. Like it was like, because I wanted to hold them accountable, you know, at a different level. And like they were the ones speaking. But KRS-One also had a song. Chuck D also had a song, you know what I mean? You know, about it. But yeah. Oh, yeah. Babacar could definitely, you know, bring the noise on all of this, too.
So. Well, we're going to do it. We should do more than
like a little series. Yeah.
We should do a series because, you know what? This is very important. Millions of our children. So, we talk about the 8 million black children every day getting an education. They are getting an education.
Everywhere's a classroom.
Yeah.
So there's a whole hashtag that we not talking about. That's the hip hop head, the hip hop ed folks. Right, they're doing a lot of work with that. I know that they got a conference in June 3rd.
Oh yeah, 50th anniversary.
June 3rd, in the Bronx at a sister's high school. So
yeah.
I'm gonna say, educators, don't believe the hype. Y'all don't all need to rap. Y'all can learn about hip hop, but y'all ain't got to be. Not everybody got to rap. Just like
he's subconsciously coming for somebody.
No, I'm just saying it's the type of thing you should study, but maybe not all y'all need to do it, right? Like don't go viral because you got in your classroom, you done got some of that hip hop ed in your system and you thought it was your turn. It's not your turn. It's not everybody's turn. Let
you know real quick, you trash.
They'll light you up.
Some of them should understand it. Yeah, like they shouldn't try to co-opt it or, you know what I mean?
You know what I want to do? I want to do a standardized test where all of the answers are hip hop answers. And I want to give that broadly to all the people that give tests and see how well people are going to do.
You
got to release some sample items.
Definitely got to release some sample items, but then you also got to have some writing portions. You got to have some writing portions of it, right? You got to have a day one and a day two. And
is it going to be lyrics in there? Write some lyrics in.
Is it going to be an ELA test or is it going to be a math test? Which one?
Here's what's so deep about this thing that I'm saying right now, though, is what I'm saying, the intended purpose of what I'm saying is actually going to be proven wrong, because white kids know so much about hip hop and their artists in the background and things like that. They'll smoke all of us on some tests about hip hop. Some of them in the study, like, man, listen. Like, you go looking at lyrics and the sites that do analysis on lyrics, yep. And you look at who's actually doing the commentary on them or whatnot and breaking yep. them down and how they're breaking them down and how they understand all of it. They have studied it. They have studied us. So maybe we would lose. Ooh, Michelle Johnson is piercing me through the heart. Did you see? Let me put this up, because y'all don't understand. It sounds like one of those Ruby Payne poverty quizzes. Can you find the good stuff at the swap meet? If y'all don't know who Ruby Payne is, Ruby Payne made millions of dollars, many millions of dollars, selling districts how to talk to Black people courses and how to talk to Black children courses. She became rich, and this is after teaching in two districts, one in Texas, one in Chicago, for not a long period of time, but she developed scripts of how you talk to Black kids. And it involved things like Black kids are enamored with humor more than facts. So you have to use humor. which is why she made a whole generation of Black people hate their teachers. She's single-handedly. That was a shot through the heart. All right, well, listen, we're at the end of the show. I would love to hear your final analysis as fathers and old heads and hip-hop fans. About this issue. It started with this article that I do encourage people to go out and read by the brother. The article is called, actually, let me go back. The article is called True Colors, Race and the Misnomer of Hip Hop as Black Music. It's by Omar Burgess, and it's in Hip Hop DX. That's where you can find it. So if you Google it, you will find it. And the case that he's making. Facebook, chat. Okay. And I put it in there earlier.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Cool. Yeah. But put it in there again so people can click on it and go see. What started the conversation here? And basically, he was saying that they can't be conscious hip hoppers anymore because they can't say what they want to say. They'll lose money and endorsements. Go ahead, Ray. Do you want to make your final thoughts, sir?
Yeah. Put me in the final thoughts. Okay. I got a couple things. So the first thing is I want to address L. Michelle Johnson, who said she was in the Rump Shaker video. I am going to find that video. I will find you, L. Michelle, and you will see it on Twitter tomorrow. That's the first thing. Second thing is, tomorrow night, 8 p.m., I'm plugging my show, EduPeers Podcast. I got Bib Hubbard, and we're talking about report cards and how report cards don't necessarily mimic grade level achievement. So if you're with us tonight, check us out tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then the last thing in regards to this show, man, this was an amazing show. However, what I will say is this. Today's hip-hop is not yesterday's hip-hop, right? And so, you know, I know that with music, it kind of transforms and it goes into like a youth-led movement. But we need to guide these youth to make sure that, you know, they understand the history of something, right? Because if you don't understand the history of something, then you forget it. And this version of hip hop seems as if it has forgotten the history and the context as to which it was born. That's my final thought.
Reef.
I'll say, look, I love hip hop. I think hip hop has some, you know, some stepchildren that aren't contributing positively to the culture. And then also want to shout out Dr. Chris Emden and Hip Hop Ed. I think it's June 3rd, Saturday, if that's a Saturday, first Saturday in June, celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip hop. So that should be really, really dope. So shout out to Dr. Emden, his team, Hip Hop Ed, et cetera, who are, talking about contributing to the culture in a positive way. I think, you know, how we've historically, traditionally told stories, you know, hieroglyphics was before graffiti, you know what I mean? Like just general art form. I think artists is so important, but it's also important to maintain and protect it because just like anything else that's, you know, there will be leeches and lice on it. And I think we right now we have a whole lot of folks that are like blood sucking from it, removing the culture and injecting their saliva as a lot of, you know, poisonous rascals might do. You know, and again, I want to I tweeted this out, but for those not on Twitter, wanted to quote Dr. Sonia Sanchez again. And what she said was, the most fundamental truth to be told in any art form, as far as Black people are concerned, is that America is killing us. And so even in ways where they've taken over hip hop in so many ways, it's still consistent with that narrative that she said. It is killing us in different ways. So not only just like how we speak about it, how we talk about it, but unfortunately how a lot of our youth are experiencing it. So, you know, shout out to those who protect it. Shout out for the legends who you know, and who continue. Like, and there are still folks who continue, you know, to contribute in really positive ways.
Well, I would say, as always, I appreciate Sunday nights, number one, to be with you fellows in fellowship around education and the education of our kids. I definitely appreciate the fact that people come here and spend their Sunday nights with us as we go back and forth about issues that we think are really important for our young people. What I'll say about the topic for tonight and the importance and the main point that I have about hip hop goes back to years ago when an elder told me to stop saying that our kids aren't learning, that our kids are, you know, in schools, but they're not getting all that they need. And she shook me several times. She was like a close talker and a mouth breather too. She got real close to me and she just said, stop saying that our kids aren't learning. She said, our kids are always learning. They may not be learning what you want them to learn, but they are always learning something. Every day, all day. And that gets me to thinking about this particular topic. I don't necessarily want today's hip hoppers being the teachers of my kids. Everybody else listening to my voice right now can make their own decision. But I showed you a video earlier with young women in the video where I wouldn't want that to be anybody in my family. You can make your own choices if you want to, if you think those should be the teachers of femininity to your children or some of the hyper-masculine misogynoir that comes out of the men in hip hop. If you want that to be the teachers of your young people, that's on you, but it's not going to necessarily ever fly with me. And it's not something I'm going to ever apologize for either. Much of this isn't even of our own making. We are not making the decisions whether or not 2 Chainz or Anita Baker or anybody else you can name are the ones that are going to get front and center in the music industry. We don't make those decisions. So someone is making a conscious choice for a race to the bottom to pull up the most ignorant of the ignorant, the most toxic of the toxic of our representatives, to make them famous and rich for giving the entire globe, because hip hop is an international business, a lesson that I don't want my kids learning necessarily. So that's the end of the story for me on that one. There was a time when hip hop was unique to us and we owned it. And in that time, you saw what we did with it. KRS-One talked a lot about Africa. So did a whole host of other rappers, and they taught through their music. There are things that I know today that I didn't learn in school. I learned through popular culture of people saying it in something like a song and making me go and research and read it for myself. And I still today remember that. That's who I want. That's what I want for the teachers, for our kids. And it's a shame that we can't have that, because corporate took over like they do everything. They cornered our markets and they take over everything. And then they resell us to us, and they're selling us our most ignorant, and I'm not here for it. And, you know, I'll end with this one last thing. Cause y'all keep, you know, like Sharif made the dig on me. Like I'm an old man, like I'm 110 years old. Like I'm Moses. Right. And this is where that's important. You know, like if I'm Moses, I'm going to be Moses. But let me say this. I remember, like, as a Prince fan, y'all know I'm a Prince fan, right? Like, y'all know I've been a Prince fan for years. Let me just do this.
What are you about to show us? Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. So, y'all know I've been a Prince fan for years, right?
What's the hat got it? What's Uptown got to do
with it? Uptown, brother? Are you? Yeah. Wait, what?
Huh? I thought you were about to put like a Prince hat on. What's that? Uptown?
That is a Prince hat, bro.
Is that like his crib? That's like Graceland or something?
It's one of his songs, one of his famous songs. And this is, you know, like one of his hats. Anyways, so the first Prince album that I ever got, I got from a friend down
it's
the street.
It's in arm's reach. You know? That's hilarious. So
Keith Rouge, I think it was. I still can remember it today. Said like, you know, my dad said, I got to get rid of this album. You want it? And I was like, well, who is it? Because I was a music fan and I loved albums and I had a little collection going, and he, you know, a free album. Like my dad said, I had to give away. Right, turns out it was Prince's Controversy. And I brought that album to my house. And my dad was like, You ain't bringing that shit in my house. And what do you think happens when your dad says that to you?
You're going to sneak and find a way to...
Bruh, that album made it into... And then I became a Prince fan specifically because he said that. Now, fast forward to today. I got a 15-year-old upstairs who I was like, absolutely not on Kanye. And guess what? He's the biggest Kanye fan now.
Nah, he's the second biggest because the one next door right here is the...
Bruh, breaks my brain in every possible way. But I know if I say, I know if I prohibit, what's going to happen?
He's gonna listen to it more.
He's gonna go down the ignorant rabbit hole, right? Just because his dad told him that he couldn't. So now I gotta live with a damn Kanye fan in my house. See,
you got more than that. You got Josh is a Kanye fan too.
See, you're breaking my heart. Josh is another one. Josh is 32 years old, my oldest son. For y'all listening to watching, he's probably listening to watching too. I remember when he came home with a Nelly CD, and I was like, I have failed you. That is not hip hop. I don't know what that is. But it's not Public Enemy. And I felt like I taught you better. I felt like I did better than this.
Don't do that. Shout out Nelly. Nelly was holding hands with Ashanti last night. Shout out Nelly.
Anyways,
look, I read an article once. I'll try to find it where it said eventually you become a fan of your parents' genre. So even if they're a little lost now, eventually they return and they
appreciate. Yeah, I can see that happen.
Deeper appreciation of their parents' genre, so they like kind of abandon a little bit of what you know. Let's hope that's true. Let's hope
that's a generation.
You know, we need to do. We need to have a section of the show like at the end when we talk about what we're listening to the following week, right? And so this week right here coming up, I'm listening to the Tony Rich Project all week.
Oh, bro, stop it. You gonna listen to Surface next after that? Don't Disturb this groove. What you gonna listen to next after that? Stephanie Jacobs says the kids will be okay, and I'm not so sure. Michelle Johnson says I share their Apple Music subscription, which I do, so I can see all the mess that they listen to, and woo, it is some mess. it's a lot of mess. And Sharif, I'm glad you put in thing about Dr. Emden. What I would say about this with hip hop, Ed, or whatnot, I hope that we teach educators to be culturally relevant and to understand, but also to not think that they know so much because they have studied through hip hop or whatever. First of all, not all your kids listen to hip hop. Not all Black kids listen to hip hop. And you are never going to be the expert enough to be able to be there and be that educated. Okay. Anyways, Mommy Toya says, I love Tony Rich. So there's two people in the world that are still kicking the Tony Rich. I think next, what are y'all going to say? Keith Sweat, you know, next.
Keith Sweat can't sing.
He cannot sing. Keith Sweat, I know you're still touring. My son sees you sometimes. You need to stop. You weren't singing years ago, but now you sound worse.
I was dead, man. They love that whining,
Jesus, bruh, stop it. Anyways, to our friends and family, thank you for sharing your Sunday night with us. We appreciate you as always. Share the show, leave a note for us, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. That's the way that we get the word out to share with our friends and family and grow our audience. We appreciate you as always. We'll see you next week on another episode of the 8 Black.